Did you like my impression of Pastor Buddy? No, I'm just joking. Good evening, boys and girls. Okay. What team's this? What team's this? Okay, 703 points to Alpha. And 707 points for these. Have you guys?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's why you haven't got lungs. You haven't got lungs. These guys have got lungs. You guys haven't got lungs. Okay. All righty. Have you got ears?
Yes!
Good. Thank you very much. A yes would have been fine. All right, here we go. Let's have a quick run through of what we've been looking at. That's what I'm missing. All right, now, fellas, we've got visitors tonight, so we're going to go through and review things a little bit, and we want you to listen up well. We're talking to you visitors, all right, and the campers already know how to listen up well, but there'll certainly be bonus points for the team that listens up the best tonight and is least distractive. Not that you guys have ever done anything like that. All right. Now, what's next? Yes, sir. That's it. Let's do it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another wonderful time here in chapel at camp. Thank you for the great day we've had, Lord. We thank you for the visitors who are out tonight. And now, Lord, we ask, please help us as we have this special study. Lord, again, I ask you to help me to be able to share your wonderful truth very clearly to everybody, and help everyone, Lord, to listen well and learn the special lessons that you've got for each one to learn tonight. And Lord, may what we do as a result of what we learn tonight be very pleasing to you and bring you great honour and glory. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Alrighty. Now, let's have a bit of a zip through our call to arms. Of course, we all know that the series is called the Whole Armour of God. And how much of the armour should we put on? Good. All right. Now, the first piece that we're going to see, and here is our verse, our key verse about putting all of it on. The first one was the belt of truth. And so we learnt that we have to stand having our loins girt about. That means wearing our belt of truth. And so a Christian should be truthful. Now, for those who are visiting tonight, I better explain to them because they haven't been here, okay? When you become a Christian, you join God's army. And here we're told about our kit that we get, or our armour. But we're not talking about literally putting on a belt and literally putting on a breastplate and having a shield and all those things. It's not talking about that. So the big question is, what is it talking about? What is God saying we should put on? And that is the things that are associated with each of these pieces of equipment. And we learnt that the belt represents truth. And we learnt, didn't we, young people, that truth is the most important thing in the world or in life, okay? Because if you know the truth, then the truth will set you free. You know the Lord Jesus, you know the truth, and you're able to join his army. Okay, so the first thing, and we talked about first things first. If you get the truth right, then everything else is going to fall into place. So a Christian should be truthful. And we're talking about armour that protects us from the attacks of our enemy. And our enemy is the Satan, right? The devil and his cohorts. Are people who are not Christians our enemies?
No.
We're trying to
win them to Christ.
Win them to Christ. Okay, we're trying to get them to join our side, but they're not our enemies. So the first thing a Christian does to protect themselves is to be truthful in everything. Then we learnt the second piece of equipment was the breastplate of righteousness. And we learnt that that means if we put on the breastplate of righteousness, that we do right. Okay? Sounded very complex, didn't it? But it works out very simple. And what did we say was another way of describing doing right? What Jesus went about doing everywhere and what we should do. To do right is to do very good. Say it loud.
Good works.
Okay? Christians should be known by their good works, doing right in everything like the Lord Jesus did. And then we talked about the gospel sandals. And the gospel sandals are our feet shod or got something that we're wearing on our feet, which is talking about the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that took a little bit of explaining, but you've all got it, didn't you? And we learnt that no God, no peace. And if you know God, you know peace. Isn't that good? And we also learnt that a Christian should share the good news. And so we learnt that we protect ourselves from spiritual danger by telling the truth, by doing what's right, by telling others. We've already said that, telling the truth, doing what's right, telling, sharing the good news of the gospel, and by having our shield of faith. And we learnt from the shield of faith, when we said above all, who can remember what that meant? Because this was this morning's one, so this is their first review. We'll see how they went. Yes, ma'am. Close but not quite. Okay, yes, sir. It actually protects all the rest of the armour. It's big enough for you to be able to get everything in behind it. And we saw, and you can see from this picture of this Roman soldier, who is the sort of soldier that Paul was using to teach us these things, that his shield is quite a big shield. It's not a little round one, and little round one was sometimes used, but this shield was a special sort of shield. Who can remember? Yes, sir. Very good. Give us five. Well, to go. All right. The Greek word that is translated as the shield here is the same Greek word that you get the word for door from. And that's talking about how big the shield was. It was nearly as big as a door. And you could get your whole body in behind it, and it would be a wooden frame with what over it? Leather, very good. And what would they do? Sorry, I'll give you another chance. Soak it in water. Good, you got this one right on the head, okay? Soak it in water so that when the enemy fired arrows at you that had flames on it, yep, it would quench the flames. Now, by the way, grown-ups down the back, we learnt that this word darts wasn't darts like you throw at a dartboard, okay? And they weren't little darts that you put in a dart gun or whatever to shoot things. What were they? You answered one. Okay, yes, sir. Arrows, that's right. They're talking about arrows. And sometimes basically a missile that flies through the air, but spears, but mainly arrows. And the devil is trying to get us with his fiery darts. But if we will have faith, then we believe. Okay? And can you remember our illustration this morning? Where'd he go? Here he is. There's our illustrator. You want to show all the ones who are visiting tonight our illustration we did this morning? Okay. All right. We'll do it just like we did this morning, all right? Okay. Have a seat.
Okay.
Well done. Give him a clap. Okay. You see, everybody, he just illustrated what faith is. He just sat down on that chair. He didn't go like this. Oh, Oh, I did it, I did it, I sat on the chair, I believe. Okay, remember? Everyone can believe. Everyone does believe. We do it every day. We sit on chairs, we get in our car, we do all sorts of stuff. Right now, you're all sitting on a chair because you believe that chair can hold your weight. And all right, we won't go there. Moving on. Now, to have faith simply means to believe or to trust. Now, I wanted to ask you guys, now that you've all understood the lesson, I'm going to take a vote, all right? Because the words believe and trust are pretty much mean the same thing, right? Okay? Hands up, because for review, rather than having believe slash trust, okay, I'd like to just narrow it down to one word. So you guys in the back don't get a vote, all right? Just the campers, all right? How many of you reckon we should put up the word believe God as the one, and how many of you reckon we should put up trust God as the one? Because either one is just as good. So let's have a vote. All those who want to have the word believe. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. How many want to have the word trust? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think there are more. Okay, all right. When we review it next time, we'll just have the word trust up there, all right? Because trust, believe, have faith, all means the same thing, right? And so we'll narrow it down to one word for our reviews, so we'll have trust next time. Okay, now that brings us to our next piece of equipment, which is the... All right, have you got your books open, ready to take some notes? All right, here's our reference, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. By the way, thank you to two leaders who picked up. I had another one come a little bit later. I had one leader come to me earlier on today who pointed out that this morning the reference that I had up for our shield of faith was actually incorrect. On my thing on there, I had Ephesians 6, 15 for the shield of faith, when in fact it is Ephesians 6, 16. And fix that. Let's go back just to prove it. See? I've got it right now. Alright. Okay. But now we're looking at the helmet of salvation, which is Ephesians 6, 17. Take the helmet of salvation. Alright. Remember these guys that we looked at this morning when we talked about the shield? Okay. And for the visitors here, I'll just explain it a little bit to you guys. This is very similar to the Roman shield. You can see the archers here with their bows and arrows, but you can see one or most of one here, but you can see a whole shield here. There's an archer and a shield bearer. And you can see there's a handle there and another handle that sticks out there, and the shield bearer actually holds this great big shield like this, and he can pick it up and move it into a new place. And the archer and him can both fit behind it. And then the archer jumps out and goes and shoots at the city that they've surrounded. And then he jumps back in, loads up his bow again, jumps out. All right. Jumps back in, loads up his bow, jumps out. Oh, mistimed that one. Next, archer. All right. So that is your sort of big shield. Now, did I tell you which army this was this morning? Hands up. Close, very close. Assyrian, okay, right next door. Good try, okay, Assyrian, well done. These were the Assyrian army, but I'm putting this up to show you something else. Why have I put this up to show you now? Yes, ma'am, the helmet, excellent. You'll notice that they are wearing helmets. There's a sort of like an up, their helmets actually... they double as a funnel when they're having to pour stuff into jars. They just turn upside down and pour their... don't tell anybody I said that, all right? Okay. They really look like funnels, though, don't they? Hey, I better just check my history books. Maybe the dinner that they were served, you know, was that gruel sort of slop, and they had a little bowl, and so they took their helmet off, put it like that, and the cook goes slop, and they go into their thing. Okay, moving on. Come on, be serious, you guys, will you? Stop mucking about. All right, so we're going to talk about the helmet. Here is a Roman helmet, but which guy is this in the Roman army? Hands up, hands up, hands up. Captain, you're close. Yes, sir. Centurion. All right, now, we're going to be talking about centurions tomorrow morning. We've got a special message about centurions, which we'll be looking at tomorrow morning. But take notice of his helmet. It's a lot more sophisticated than the Assyrian guys, wasn't it? Okay, I don't know how he's going to pour his food through that. But anyway, here's our regular guy that we have on our verse. And you'll notice he's a regular soldier. He's not a centurion, okay? And he doesn't have the doohickey on the top, okay? You look that up in the dictionary. I'm sure it's in there somewhere, doohickey, all right? But the special thing on the top actually identifies that they're the centurion, so that the fellow soldiers know where the centurion is, and so the enemies know who to shoot at. But anyway, this regular soldier has a helmet that looks like this. Now, how do we know that? I mean, that's a pretty fancy helmet. It's got flaps on the side, it's got ear covers, and it's got a thing to protect the back of your neck, and it's even got a sun visor there. How do we know that it looks like that? Was it just someone with a big imagination? How do we know? Serious answer now. I'm the only one that's allowed to be silly, all right? Yep, that was it. He couldn't come up with anything silly. All right, how do you think we know? Well, the Bible doesn't have any pictures of the helmets. How do you think we know what they look like? Very good. Give that girl a pat on the back. We archaeologists have found some Roman helmets, and here is a Roman helmet in the Israel Museum in Jerusalem, and this one was found in a cave down near the Dead Sea. And it was a cave where some of the Israeli soldiers who were part of the Bar Kokhba rebellion, for you grown-ups who know about that particular one, which was after the time of the New Testament, about 20 or 30 years after John wrote the book of Revelation. So it's around about that same New Testament times. And they had taken this Roman helmet as part of their spoil, and they found it with some other things that the Israelite soldiers had hidden away in a cave. And as you can see, it's got the back flap, it's got ear cover, it's got the side flaps, and it's got the sun visor. Everything there, okay? Yes?
How do you know the centurion people had the fucking
flappy? Because there are actually other historical records that tell them about the flappy doohickey. The doohickeys, okay? There are the Romans themselves had records. I haven't got time to show you all the other pictures, okay? But the Romans did carvings of themselves, right, in stone, walls and stuff, that shows what they all look like and all that sort of stuff, okay? Rightio, but it's a good question, and fair enough, okay? So that is the helmet that is being used, and it really does protect, doesn't it? What does the helmet protect? Yes, sir?
Your brains.
Your brains, exactly right. The helmet protects your head, whether you've got a brain in it or not. Okay? And so, the big question is, what is this teaching us about the Christian life? The helmet protects a person's head, and you're spot on, protects your brains, okay? And the reason why we have a helmet, hang on, what's it called? It's called the helmet of
salvation.
Salvation. Now, we're not talking about your head or your brain and this helmet keeping you saved. Okay? Your salvation. Now, I'll put those words up later on in the presentation. I probably should have put them up now, but I'll say them now and we'll review them later. Okay? The word salvation, helmet of salvation, the word saved, and the word safe are all from the same word, okay? So to be safe, to be saved, to have salvation is all talking about the same thing, being safe and secure. And that's what salvation is about. It is not the helmet It is not knowing about things that keeps us saved or keeps us safe, keeps us a Christian. We're going to learn about what it is that keeps us safe as a Christian. But it is what we know. It is what is in our head. So this is about what we call, you can write this down, this is about what we call assurance of salvation. How many of you were here at the camp when I talked about, can you remember? You just put your hand up so that everyone would look at you, okay? I looked at him. How many of you were here for the camp where we talked about the eight sure ants? Eight sure ants. Do you remember those? At least Pastor Buddy was there. You remember them, do you, bro? How long ago was that? It was a fair while ago, was it? Oh, it's that long ago? 2012. That's only 3 years ago. Some of you guys must have been here, surely. But then that's a long time for old people like you, you forget. But anyway, when we looked at the eight sure ants told us about eight special things that we can be absolutely sure of because God says it in the Bible, okay? And one of those things that we can be absolutely sure about is this, young people. Are you listening?
Yes.
You can be absolutely sure that when you are truly saved, when you've truly become part of God's family and joined His army, then I am always saved, okay? Once you join God's army, you are always going to be on His side. Isn't that a good thing to know? Now, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Once you join God's army, you are always on His side. Let's turn to our first scripture. All right, it's taken us a little while to get there. It's near the back of your Bible. Go to Revelation and then just turn forward a couple of pages and you'll find 1 John chapter 5. Okay, 1 John chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 11 to 13. And I want you to pick up on the word know, K-N-O-W. Remember about the one about peace was no peace. No God, no peace. And then the other was no God, no peace. Watch the word know in these verses as I read them to you, boys and girls. All right, here we go. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. Okay, I'm looking at chapter 4, verse 11, which is why it doesn't make sense. Okay, verse 11 says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life." Okay? "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Verse 13 says, okay, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe or continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Okay? So, John said, God wants us to know that we have eternal life permanently. We've got it. And we're going to look at a couple of illustrations in a minute, a couple of stories that help us to understand this wonderful truth. Let's look at the next passage we want to look at. We're in 1 John. Now we want to go to the Gospel of John. So that's right back at the start of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then Acts. So if you head back towards the front, you get to Acts, then you'll find John. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And I want to read verses 4 to 11. It's quite a long passage, all right? You ready? Here we go. John chapter 13, starting at verse 4. Oh, I've got chapter 10, haven't I? That, young people, is a blooper. Okay? Oopsie. That's an oopsie. That's supposed to say John chapter 13. Oops. Okay, John chapter 13, verses 4 to 11, that's supposed to say. By the way, John chapter 10, verses 4 to 11 are great verses. It's talking about the shepherd and the sheep, all right? And it's on the same sort of subject, but these are the ones that I really want you to look at tonight. John chapter 13, verses 4 to 11. Are you with me now? Okay, follow along. He, that is Jesus, if you look back at verse 3, you'll see Jesus knowing, okay? So verse 4, he, Jesus, rises up from supper, laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. He put it around him like a belt. After that, he poured water into a basin. He kept pouring water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then he comes to Simon Peter. And Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus said unto him, Look, Pete, listen, what I do thou knowest not now. Now you don't really have you haven't got a clue what I'm doing now, okay? But thou shalt know hereafter. All right? You'll basically get the gist of it later on, but right now you haven't got a clue what I'm doing, so just let me do it and watch, is what the Lord Jesus is saying. Peter, though, says in verse 8, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him and said, if I wash thee not, if you don't let me wash your feet, thou hast no part with me. Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, we can't have fellowship and spend time together, right? And be friends. That's what he's getting at. And Peter says, oh, I want to be your friend. So look at what Peter says in the next verse. Verse 9, Peter said to him, Lord, in that case, not my feet only, but wash my hands and my head. Lord, if it's a matter of being your friend and being able to be with you, don't just wash me feet, give me a bath, because I want to be your friend and I want to be with you everywhere. In fact, this is the very same time that Peter says to the Lord Jesus, even if all these other guys forsake you, I won't forsake you, I won't desert you, Lord. Did you remember that, some of you? Okay. So he says, I'm your man, I'll stay with you, I want to be with you, Lord. Give me a bath if that's what you're talking about. Let's see what the Lord Jesus says. You say, why on earth are we looking at this if we're talking about soldiers and stuff? Okay. Does anyone, when was the last, put your hand down. I was going to ask you, when was the last time you had a bath? Okay. But anyway, moving on. That was my fault. Sorry. Okay, look at verse 10. Eyes on it, verse 10. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed, that is, has had a bath, needeth not save to wash his feet. Okay, that's a little bit of a difficult one to understand today, but he's saying simply this. He's saying, Peter, look, if you've had a bath, you don't need to have a bath again, you just need to wash your feet. Look at what he goes on to say. He goes on to say, but is clean every whit, you're clean all over, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean. So let me paint the picture for you, boys and girls. One of the disciples was very shortly after this going to go and betray the Lord Jesus, right? His name is Judas. Judas went and told the bad guys where they could find Jesus to arrest him. He betrayed the Lord Jesus. And here the Lord Jesus is saying, one of you hasn't been washed all over. Now, do you think he's really talking about having a bath? No. He says, all of you are clean except one. Who is that one? Judas, the one, the bad guy, the one who's not a Christian amongst them. He's not saved. He's not a believer. He's a fake. Okay? And Jesus is saying to the disciples, look, I'm washing your feet right now to teach you something. And Peter says, well, if you're going to wash my feet, Lord, give me a bath. And the Lord Jesus says, no, in this lesson that I'm teaching you, a bath is a picture of something different, and all of you have been bathed except one, who is Judas. So if the picture of having a bath being washed all over, Judas hasn't had a bath. What's it saying? Judas hasn't been
saved.
He hasn't become a Christian. And so the picture of being washed all over is the picture of becoming a
Christian.
Now, what did Jesus say? If you've had a wash all over, did he say, yes, you have to have another wash all over?
You don't
have to have a wash all over if you've been washed all over. So that's telling me that once I've become a Christian, I don't ever have to do that again. I don't have to become a Christian again. I've been washed all over, right? And now as a Christian, if I make a mistake and I sin as a Christian, because Christians can do bad things, right? Do I have to be washed all over again? Or what was Jesus doing? He was washing their
feet.
You see, when a Christian does do something wrong, we don't have to be washed all over again. We don't have to be saved again. We just have to have our feet washed. And boys and girls and grown-ups here, this particular passage here, for me, is the most powerful passage in the whole Bible to prove that once you become a Christian, you are always a Christian. Because Jesus said when you've been washed all over, you don't have to do it again, you just have to wash your feet. If a Christian sins, they don't lose their salvation, they lose their fellowship. That's why Jesus said, if you don't let me wash your feet, you can't have fellowship with me. But if we let Jesus wash our feet and forgive the sins that we do as a Christian, then we have fellowship with him again. You see? Can you see the picture, boys and girls? So that's telling us that once we are saved, we are safe. And that is putting on the helmet of salvation. We're protecting our mind, because sometimes our mind goes, oh, I did something really bad. Maybe I'm not a Christian anymore. And we think bad things like that and we get depressed, and the devil's fiery dart has got us, hasn't it? And we stop being a joyful Christian and we go, oh no, I've failed and I'm hopeless, I'm no good, God doesn't want me anymore. Does God want us like that? No, he doesn't. And so we protect our mind by knowing that we are safe. We've been washed all over. Now I want you to go to John chapter 10. These are the last two verses we're going to look at. Now I want you to go to John chapter 10 and look at verse 28. All right, so that one was the picture of being washed all over. Shows us that once we're saved, we're always saved. And in chapter 10, verse 28, have a look at what it says. You can read it with me if you like. Jesus says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." So if you're a Christian, whose hands are you in? God's hands. How strong is God? Strong. He is able, right? He's strong enough to create the whole universe. So do you think he's strong enough to keep us safe so that we can get to heaven? He sure is. So let's look at 1 Peter 1:5 as well, because it goes with John 10:28. And this is the last verse we're going to look at, boys and girls. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Have you got it? Sorry, it's near the back of your Bible. Remember where we were at 1 John, right near Revelation? Or if you've gone to 1 John, you've gone a little bit too far. Just come back a little bit. Whoops, that's too far. There it is. 1 Peter, if a person next to you is having trouble, then help them, okay? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. All right, I'll read it. If you want to read it with me, you can. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Okay, let's leave that last little phrase off. Look at what it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Now, Does it say we are kept through faith? Is that what it says? Does it say we are kept through faith? No, it doesn't. You see, some Christians, sadly, boys and girls, think that we keep our salvation by our faith. That once we've become a Christian, if we keep our faith strong, then we stay a Christian. But if our faith becomes weak, then we stop being a Christian. That sounds pretty tough, doesn't it? But this doesn't say we are kept by our faith, does it? It says that we become a Christian through faith. That's how we get there, by believing, right? But read it with me. Someone put your hand up. Tells me, what is it in this verse tells us keeps us? What are we kept by? Isaac, by the power of God. What do we read in John chapter 10, verse 28? We are in His hands. How strong are His hands? Very strong. We are kept by the power of God. You see, it's not up to you and me to stay a Christian. It's up to God to keep us a Christian. And do you think He's able to do it?
Yeah.
Yes, He is. When a person is drowning out in the ocean down here, who is it that swims out to save him? The lifeguard. And when that person says, "Help, help," the lifeguard comes out and grabs them. And then who gets the person back to shore? The lifeguard, because he's able to be a lifesaver and save them. Isn't that a good picture of us? It's not up to the person drowning to get themselves back to shore. That's why they couldn't get back, because they were drowning. Okay? It's the lifeguard who's able to get them to shore. The Lord Jesus is the great lifeguard, the life saver. He, when we say, "Lord Jesus, save me, help, I'm dying in my sin, forgive me, save me," He takes us in His hands and He gets us to the shore of heaven, because He's able. He has the power to keep us. And the last story I want to tell you, boys and girls, is about Paul down here. Brother Paul, stand up. Yeah. What's your little girl's name again? Melody. Okay, can you imagine Brother Paul here taking Melody and the rest of the family for a walk through the bush, and they come to a little creek. The water's only about this deep, but it's a bit too deep for Melody and she's scared, okay? And they want to get across the creek to the other side. And so Dad picks up Melody in his arms like he's got her now, and he starts to step into the water. What does Melody do when she gets in, looks down at the water? What does she start to panic, and what does she do?
Scream.
Well, she might scream, but that's not what I'm after. What does she do? She hugs Dad and holds on tight so that she won't fall in. Is that going to stop her from falling in? Is her holding on tight what stops her from falling into the water? No, it's not. What stops her from falling into the water? Dad does. Dad's got her in his arms. That's what keeps her safe going across the creek. Her little grip, okay? She goes, "Ooh, ooh, ooh, I might fall in." But that's not really what keeps her safe, is it? It's Dad's strong arms that keeps her safe. Thanks, bro. You can sit down. You got the picture, boys and girls?
Yep.
Okay, that's how it is with you and me. We are God's child once we become a Christian. And we may think, am I going to be safe? Will I lose my salvation? Maybe I might not become a Christian. Oh, I better hold on tight to God. Is that going to help us be a Christian? No, it's not. What's going to keep us a Christian?
God is.
God is. By His power, He keeps us safe. And when we know this in our head, we're wearing the helmet of salvation. Young boys and girls, saved, safe, salvation are all talking about the same thing. The helmet of salvation means a Christian should know they're saved. Are you a Christian tonight, young people? If you are, God wants you to know that you're saved. Know that you are safe. And when you know that, that gives you the confidence to go out and face any challenge for God. Just like the soldier can go out and face any challenge because he's got his good helmet on. Knowing that we're saved doesn't make us irresponsible. It makes us adventurous. That's what it's about. Good. Give us another one. All right. Okay. And that's the sort of Christian that God wants you to be when you go from camp. A soldier who tells the truth. A soldier who does what's right. A soldier who shares the good news with their friends and family and others that they meet. A Christian who has faith no matter what happens, they protect themselves. And a Christian who knows that they're safe in God's arms and can go out and whoop, do great things for God. Instead, okay. Remember, they're not our enemy. We're trying to win them to the Lord, okay? So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy of being able to learn about the wonderful things that you have for us. But Lord, this matter of salvation is a very, very serious thing too. Lord, once we're saved, we can have joy and we've got every reason to have joy. But for those boys and girls who are here in this group who aren't Christians, who aren't saved, they have no reason to be joyful at all because they face a very awful future if they don't get saved. Lord, help them to understand that you love them and you care for them, and so do we, and you want them to be part of your family, part of your army too. Help them to see their need, Lord, and to trust you, maybe even tonight. Amen.